Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with the headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Tian Lu, coming up in this edition. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed to increase pressure on Hamas to bring back hostages while rejecting any sanctions on the country's military. Ecuador's President Daniel Noboa has declared an early victory in a referendum focused on security. And heavy rains have battered southern China, triggering severe flood warnings in the region. 3 people are known to have died, while 11 others remain missing. We begin with the Middle East. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has pledged to increase military and political pressure on Hamas to bring back hostages. Speaking ahead of the Jewish Passover holiday, Netanyahu said Israel will unleash what he called painful blows soon. The Israeli military also said it has sent forces along the entire length of the country's border. Meanwhile, Netanyahu also vowed to fight against any sanctions on Israeli military unit. John Gambro with the Associated Press has more.
There is Passover. This is the Jewish holiday that commemorates when Jews fled Egypt in biblical times. Now, Prime Minister Netanyahu, he gave a Passover speech in which he described wanting to get those hostages who remain in the Gaza Strip out. Now, back in November, there was a ceasefire that saw some 100 hostages come out. There are believed to be dozens, around 100 hostages that remain in the Gaza Strip now. Their condition isn't known. Hamas has alleged that some of them have died amid the offensive, but the Israelis still want to get these hostages out. Even at the airport now, there's still signs demanding these hostages be brought home. Netanyahu, in his remarks, put the blame on Hamas. He says that Hamas, in these negotiations that have been going on with mediators, have not offered a way for these hostages to be released. And he said that there would be additional painful blows that would come down on Hamas. He did not elaborate, but for weeks now, there's just been speculation that there could be an Israeli ground offensive in Rafah. That's really worried the international community. They say that civilians who are trapped in Rafah will be caught in the middle of this offensive. However, with Netanyahu's comments and with pressure growing, it does seem that some sort of offensive could be coming soon in Gaza.
That was AP's John Gambro in Jerusalem. Residents in Gaza are relying on airdropped aid to meet their humanitarian needs. The lack of food is one of the biggest threats to the population. The World Food Programme is helping bakeries restart business. Akram El-Satari reports from Rafah in southern Gaza.
After 4 months of continuous blockade that drove Gaza City and Gaza North to the verge of collapse and famine, the Israeli occupation authorities allowed the entry of 8 truckloads of flour to the Gaza City and Gaza North. The World Food Programme stated that those 8 trucks are going to help the bakeries restart their work and provide families in the Gaza Strip with a daily portion of bread to help and support their members.
After long suffering and months of fatigue, we finally succeeded in operating the bakery. It was operated in partnership with the World Food Programme, which provided us with the flour and fuel needed for our operation. We thank God that we were able to solve the biggest problem facing Gaza, which is famine, and we hope that things will go for the better.
In the past, we could not find bread or flour, and even firewood was difficult to find to bake for our children. Now with the opening of the bakery, bread has become available, and this for us is one of the greatest achievements. My husband is missing and I support my children alone, so I was not able to leave them and go looking for bread, but now it's available.
The situation in the Gaza North has been extremely catastrophic, where many different international and local organizations were warning the international community from seeing more Gazans die after around 35 Gazans died because of starvation. The Rafah border was extremely slow when it comes to the flow of the trucks, and some international calls were made for the Israeli government to allow the entry of food and flour and water supplies and medications and fuel through Ashdod Airport. The number of trucks that were allowed into Gaza and the Gaza North are not sufficient, but they will still address some of the dire need for the Palestinian population. Palestinians who have been seeing those 8 trucks entering the area are hopeful that more trucks would be allowed soon, and the families that have been waiting for around 6 to 8 hours in the line to get some bread are hoping that this flour quantity would be increased so that they would be securing the food for their families and they wouldn't have to wait for that very long time to get the bread.
That was Akram Al-Satari reporting. In South America, preliminary results show that voters in Ecuador have endorsed 9 out of 11 measures in a referendum mostly focused on new security measures. The measures that won voter support include armed police support, extraditions of suspects, and harsher punishments for terrorism and drug trafficking. Electoral officials say the voting process was peaceful and safe. The voting followed the slaying of a prison chief in western Ecuador and was part of President Daniel Noboa's efforts to combat violence and other criminal activities. The South American country has been grappling with an energy crisis, which analysts say could have affected support for the government. Nicolas Suarez reports from Quito.
President Daniel Noboa's national referendum initiative includes 11 questions seeking to enact reforms in a wide range of topics, including the continued military support of Ecuador's police, strengthening punishments for crimes like drug trafficking, murder and money laundering, increasing flexibility of labor laws, and the acceptance of international arbitration, which is currently banned by Ecuador's constitution. The referendum has sparked intense debate across Ecuador, dividing public opinion. Supporters argue that bolstering security measures is essential to combating rising crime rates and restoring public safety. However, critics express concerns about the potential erosion of civil liberties and human rights. Political analyst and consultant Gabriela Guerrero proposes that this referendum not only holds the potential to shape the remainder of Noboa's governing period, but also provides valuable insights into the political climate leading up to the 2025 presidential elections.
The referendum at this moment becomes crucial, since it will let us know what the outlook will be for the presidential elections of 2025, and also it will reflect what is happening at this moment with the energy crisis and how this will translate to the elections. There are two things at stake. First, the electoral legitimacy of the president, and second, the current governability.
Adding to the complexity is the recent energy crisis gripping Ecuador. On Friday, the president declared a second state of emergency amidst the crisis, raising the concerns of possible sabotage and calling on a criminal investigation into several authorities from the Ministry of Electricity. Meanwhile, the nation has been grappling with widespread power outages, exacerbating public frustration and uncertainty.
What the current surveys tell us is that the energy crisis undoubtedly lowered the president's acceptance. It went from 80 to almost 40% in the latest surveys. The government is going to have to justify this crisis in some way. An investigation has to be carried out to find out if there really was sabotage involved.
Amidst the fervor surrounding the vote, Ecuador finds itself contending with multiple challenges.
That was Nicolas Suarez reporting from Quito. Finally, in Asia, 3 people have died and 11 others remain missing after continuous heavy rainfall hit many parts of South China's Guangdong province, causing floods. Chinese authorities have issued severe flood warnings for the region. As of Monday morning, power is back on in nearly 90% of the affected households in Guangdong. Meanwhile, meteorologists are warning of more rain, strong winds and hail in the region, as well as in northern and eastern parts of China. Omar Khan reports from Guangzhou.
Warnings have been issued over the past 4 or 5 days. You have torrential downpours, you have flooding, you have waterlogging. Everyone here in Guangdong received an SMS alert warning us that the Beijiang, that is the Bei River, it's one of the small rivers that connect with the Pearl River, would see severe flooding. And that would be the first time it would flood to extreme levels in what is said to be a century. Now, that river runs from Shaoguan, which is in northern Guangdong, all the way through Qingyuan, which is just north of Guangzhou. These downpours started late last week, something common that we're seeing, even videos emerging, the iconic Canton Tower being hit by lightning at least 6 or 7 times. The worry is that it can cause landslides mudslides. Again, the elevation here in Guangdong province, the sea level elevation, I should say, is not too high. So there is concerns for transportation, for roads, railway, and of course, flights coming in and out of the major airports. We've seen videos online of those rescue teams in action, also taking part in some cleanup work. And a lot of this flooding has to do with the basin sort of irrigation systems. Those need to be upgraded. Spoke with an environmental expert in Shenzhen, got his feedback on that. More needs to be done to help with the flow of water. So that's something to keep an eye on. And just sort of a personal experience, 3 days ago, I flew in from Haikou back to Guangzhou. Our flight made an attempted landing here in Guangzhou. That was diverted to Zhuhai. So we can expect to see more flights being canceled throughout the next few days.
That was Omar Khan on heavy rain in South China. Staying in China, nearly 200 Navy representatives from dozens of countries are gathering in Qingdao to attend the Western Pacific Naval Symposium. This year, the event coincides with the 75th anniversary of the founding of the Chinese People's Liberation Army Navy. Zhao Yingfei reports from Qingdao.
China's vice chairman of the Central Military Commission, Zhang Youxia, delivered the keynote speech. And in the speech, he stressed on the new challenges and opportunities that the world is facing, especially given the maritime situation. He calls on all parties participating to abandon the Cold War mentality and promote peaceful development, and he specifically mentioned about promoting dialogue when it comes to new risks in the modern battlefield. He stressed on the potential threats brought by the new technologies as well as especially unmanned system, and that's why in this year's symposium, unmanned system is being widely discussed, and China has proposed to establish a research work project about the unmanned system over the maritime situation that is coordinated by the PLA Navy. This is the event that is really gathering the participation of a diversity, wide range of participating countries, including the delegations from the United States and delegation from Russia. However, in the morning gathering, the Philippines delegation has unexpectedly didn't show up, and I asked the PLA officials why.
As far as I know, China as a host of this symposium has extended the invitations to all member states and observer states. We're not sure about the specific reasons why the Philippines is not attending the event. However, I believe that with the joint efforts of all member states and observer states attending the meeting, the symposium will definitely inject positive energy in promoting maritime security cooperation and mutual trust among the member states and observer states.
Meanwhile, the United States and the Philippines are conducting joint military drills in the South China Sea. At the same time, China says the symposium will gather participation around the table for dialogue, promote peace, and build friendship.
That was Zhao Yingfei reporting. Recapping today's headlines, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed to increase pressure on Hamas to bring back hostages while rejecting any sanctions on the country's military. Ecuadorian President Daniel Noboa has declared an early victory in a referendum focused on security. And heavy rains have battered southern China, triggering severe flood warnings in the region. 3 people are known to have died, while 11 others remain missing. That's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Tian Lu. Thank you for listening.